Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi everyone, just a quick favor to ask before we get going. Our podcast has gone from strength to strength lately, but we'd like to find out how we can improve. We've put together a short survey and we would love to get your feedback. Anyone who takes the time to give their feedback will be entered into competitions where they can win prizes such as smartphones, cameras and drones. So please visit irishtechnews.ie/podcast-feedback. That's irishtechnews.ie/podcast-feedback. Fill out the survey and to be given a chance of winning one of those great prizes. Thanks for your time, and now back to the podcast.
Hi, welcome to today's Irish Tech News Podcast. Today I'm talking with Caroline Sorrell, Director of Operations at Mivos Limited. How are you doing, Caroline?
Yeah, good, pretty good, man, and you?
Not too bad, thanks. Now tell us a bit about, first of all, who you are and your background before we get into the nitty-gritty of Mivos.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm Caroline. I'm Director of Operations for Mivos. So I'm working here up in Bank Street in Dublin 4. So in Mivos we make power supplies and power solutions, really, just anything to do with power. So I've worked, well, Mivos has been around one form or another for like the guts of 20 years. Yeah. And I've worked for 14 years now for Luke Brennan is the MD and founder. So I've worked, 14 years. I have a mad degree in physics from UCD from back in the day, and you know, I did a bunch of different things. I used to teach HTML back when you had to do it in a notepad, and I used to fix computers for a print company. So I've always been like interested in electronics, and I found myself then working for Luke in the mid zeros. So how we started doing what we're doing now, I suppose we originally, when I came on in the mid-zeros, we were selling Wi-Fi routers on eBay and other channels. Because I don't know if you were, well, I'm sure you do remember, but back in the day, when you had broadband, in the early days of broadband, you didn't actually get a wireless router with it. They just gave you a modem. Yeah. And had like one Ethernet port or whatever. So we used to sell routers. So buy them and then sell them on eBay. And then the ISPs gave everybody free routers, and that was the end of that. So we had to pivot and move and find something else to do. And BFC knew a lot about the power supplies that routers and other networking equipment book, because we bought our products internationally and then localized them with UK plugs, you know, a 3-pin power supply. So we knew a little bit about that. We started selling replacement power supplies, so for your net gear or your D-Link.
Yeah.
All that stuff, we'd sell the replacement power supplies, and it worked. You know, it was something that people needed because they don't know the specification of a power supply. They know they need a new plug when they lose one, or they have to use it off, or they need a longer one, or any sort of thing like that. So we became kind of a supplier of niche and legacy power supplies, and we had this big database of like thousands of devices. I populated that database of devices, which you still use to that to this day. Anything like old consoles, you know, ZX Spectrums, yeah, whatever you're having yourself, Sega Mega Drive. If you needed a weird power supply, we kind of sorted you out. And that's also where we started really talking to our customers and getting to know why people were buying plugs off us, what they were using them for. People go, I need a plug for this thing. We'd have a chat, we'd help figure them out what they needed. One customer at a time,
yeah,
we really built up this this business that we have, and we then kept selling on Amazon, and sorry, I've probably talked for long enough there. I do have any questions around it.
Yeah, so tell me a bit more about your new product, Revolt, and how that came about.
Okay, so once we started selling like power supplies for a while, one customer that very clearly started to emerge from our customers was that of musicians. So a lot of the time, when people buy musical instruments, effect pedals and so forth, they actually come home with a plug.
Yeah.
Or, sometimes we found out they use batteries as well. But I used to be in like punk bands and stuff in the 90s, so I had a bit of knowledge about musical instruments and things, so we started selling replacement power supplies for musical instruments as well as the other things we were doing, because you might buy an effects pedal, doesn't have a plug in it, and the actual plug you buy from the supplier is quite expensive. So we knew the specification and we sell a cheaper alternative that was actually high quality, possibly even a higher quality than the original. And then we found out that the requirements of musicians is a little bit different. They need high quality, you know, very specific situations. They need good quality, they need noise free, they're using them on stage, they're using them in studio. So there's a different requirement there. So we started to learn more about that, again, always talking to our customers. And then there's the desktop musician. So these are people who use a lot of like little synths and audio interfaces. They're making dance music, techno music, possibly often from their man cave at home.
Yeah.
And talking to those guys really opened up a whole new world for what we were doing, empowering their very specific situations for their core devices, their Rolands, all that stuff. We got to know about that. Everything about it, and we'd make very niche, very specific things for them. But one thing that they used a lot was batteries, and of course batteries is like an open field. It's not just musicians use batteries, that's a universal problem. I have a couple of horrifying battery statistics if you want to hear them.
Go ahead.
So, 100 million kilos of batteries end up in landfill every year in the EU alone, which is just gross, clearly. So everyone hates buying like a packet of AAA batteries. Like, you hate buying them, you hate using them, you hate disposing of them. So we developed Revolt. It's the ultimate battery replacement system. It basically means that anytime you have the gadget that you want to power from batteries, you can instead power it from USB port.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because I know that batteries also come in different sizes. So
yeah. So the way our Revolt works is that the kind of native base part is like a AAA, so that's like the small A battery. Yeah. And then there's another, there's modularly, it can scale up to different sizes of batteries just by simply, you know, open screen together, flipping it back in place. And it's like, there's one battery that's like the smart battery that's connected to what's called the bridge cable, and that has like a power supply input on the other side of it. And basically, so there's one smart battery, power supply input, there's like a thin but robust ribbon cable,
yeah,
so you can still snap the door shut. Because that's the first thing everyone always goes, how do you snap the door shut? You can still snap the battery compartment shut on your device, so you're not going to lose the cover or anything. And then the rest of the space fills up with so many batteries of different sizes, or of whatever size you need. So you've got like a device that needs like four AAAs, you put in the smart one, and then the other four, or the other three dummy ones, clip the cover closed, and then you plug it in using, actually another of our products, which is Ripcord, so it's like a 3-volt power supply.
Yeah.
So that's the genesis of it. Anywhere you use batteries, you don't have to now.
So I guess also I'm thinking right now, you're also involved with the C's, batteries and D's, sorry, the ones that aren't used that often anymore.
Yeah, and right now we're 3D printing those, but part of the Kickstarter campaign is like getting the proper molds made for those ones. AAs, AAAs and AAs we have covered. That's all fully manufactured. And then making the other sizes, because it's a modest niche. You're kind of going, I haven't seen a D in a while. Not since I put 10 of them in the back of my Sony boombox in like the early 90s. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of like legacy equipment, niche equipment, where people do actually still have the requirement for these large cylindery batteries. I suppose we're covering those for people as well, but not in such a large manufactured run right now. That will evolve, I guess, as we find out the need for people. Through our Kickstarter campaign, which is such a great way of talking to people.
What about watch batteries? Watches you might use in a small little device? Circles.
Oh, little roundy silvery yolks. Well, that's a possibility as well. That we, because once you have like the base ability to have like a little power supply input, and you have the ability to plug this thing into like USB or the wall, really any, the other side of the interface can be anything. So those little watchy ones are things that we'll explore, because people use them all the time for many reasons, you know.
Well, for me,
and they go into landfill as well.
I'm thinking about the money business save each year by having a battery that's basically recharged. That basically not getting ones that you, like in the past, you used to go and get recharged batteries. and you plug them in the wall, and there'll be space for batteries. Those have been, you haven't used them in years. And in fact, right now,
I think the Wii controller, when I think of those, remember the Nintendo Wii?
Yeah, I've still got mine.
It's just a beast for batteries. Yeah.
I've still got my Wii, and I'm still using it. It's great.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Great console, yeah.
Yeah, but when you've got kind of scenario, you got that, or years ago, I had a Walkman, and I double kill batteries. I'd be using that plug-in, whereas nowadays, everything is more like batteries built into the device, or at times or not, and using what you have, because in the past, buying batteries could be a killer for business. How much money a month is spending on batteries?
People still do buy, like, you may have yourself, Ronan, have a very specific need for buying a big load of double A's or triple A's all the time. But I meet a lot of people who do, especially, like, musicians especially, but even some, like, my dad has this, like, monitor for his, monitors his oxygenation level of his blood and his heart rate, and he probably wires through, I'd say, a pack of 20 triple A's a month.
Yeah.
And I showed him this, and he was blown away, because he's only using this thing a few times, he uses it a couple of times a day for a few minutes, but he hates buying batteries, because they're dear, and then you either put them in the bin, or you bring them, well, you shouldn't put them in bins, you bring them to Tesco or Lidl or whatever, and put them in one of those boxes. But we all know that, you know, sometimes they always end up where they should. But,
And for me,
sorry. No, you go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, when you're talking about people like musicians using these batteries, I'm thinking of somebody who's going on tour. And they're going to make sure they've got enough supply of batteries, either with them packed, or have to go and buy them when they get there. And it's not a hassle they don't have.
Hassle and weight. The other thing is like, people would use, I know you don't use it for your podcast, but people often use those Zoom H4Ns and H4N Pros.
Yeah.
Like, they take double A's.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is, I was speaking to a friend who's making a short film. When you bring one of those out into the field, you kind of have to put new batteries in it every time, even if the old ones have juice in them, because you don't know how much battery's left in them. But for this, for Weefeld, you can bring your H4N Pro out into the field. You have a USB power bank, and then you always know exactly how much power you have, knowing you don't with double A's.
Yeah.
So you have juice in your pocket, whereas otherwise you'd have to buy a sleeve of batteries and kind of cross your fingers.
And also at times, if you're travelling on planes might allow you to bring batteries on board a flight.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah, because batteries they're viewed with suspicion and revulsion, really, at this point. They just kind of seem old and dirty, you know? And getting away from that and getting to a cleaner situation, because there's USB ports everywhere, like, think about, even when you're in a bus, you know, you look ahead of you and there's a USB port on the seat in front. And increasingly, USB ports, just in sockets, in wall sockets, there's one in my kitchen, you know. And so we've been moving towards this situation with USB power. USB power is evolving itself, where the latest generation USB power, you can get 100 watts out of USB port, which is enough power like a hugely hungry laptop, which wasn't always the case with USB power. It was like 12 watts, 5 volts at 2.4 amps, but that's all getting busted wide open. So the field for USB power is increasing. The possibilities are limitless, really, there.
And also, if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, you've got a USB cable and plug, so you can use that plug to plug into the wall.
That's it. It's stuff you already got. You know, you've already got your horrible drawer full of cables and plugs and all that stuff. You've already got those things to assist you for powering things. So that's the other thing. It's nice to reuse stuff you already have. I much prefer that than having to buy something new, right?
And are you USB-C or USB, or which kind of USB do you favor or use with this?
Well, for this is like your standard, because USB-C is something that people don't have kicking around right now. You know, we just discussed this a little earlier. You buy one of the brand new iPhones and it's got a USB-C, comes with a USB-C charger, but you don't have the plug, because my Mac doesn't have it, your Mac doesn't have it.
Yeah.
So you've got this cable, but there's nothing to plug it in on the other side, so you'd have to go out and buy a new plug to charge your brand new phone, which they ostensibly left out the plug because they're trying to save the environment. So, you know, there's a bit of irony there that's not quite covered. This just uses standard USB port.
But I guess, in the long,
everybody has.
I guess in long term you'll have an option of buying USB-C or USB-C when you get the device, when you're buying the product.
Yes, and that will evolve over time. And you know, we're thinking about it now, but we're also like thinking about the future and how we can get more leverage out of USB ports. How we can we're working on a product. I'm not going to talk too much about it because it's still nascent.
Yeah.
But something that can really replace everything in that drawer that we all have, and something universal that'll work for a lot of different applications.
So you can you can call it an USB Swiss knife.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. That.
Think of MacGyver. Something he ever used. Everything he was doing was a Swiss Army knife was save the world.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah.
And like, there's a lot of R&D going on. Revolt was Luke and our colleague Xiao were working on that. Now Luke's relocated to Portugal. He lives and works from there. There's a Revolt's office over there too.
Yeah.
They spent like a long time getting this thing right. You know, really working with. Like, you know, any problem is a series of 57 other little tiny old problems. Yeah. You know, it seems like one big problem, but of course, once you start working on it, you realize, oh man, there's so many things to do here. And they really put this thing through so many iterations and so many prototyping. And they didn't go, this version of it, and it's not perfect, but we'll leave it. Like, they really over engineered this, so it's actually gorgeous. And every single person who's used it has gone, oh, this is actually amazing. And you know, normally you give things to people and they have a lot of ugly comments. What about this? Everyone loves Revolt. It seems to, it's really, the R&D is visible on it. Like, the time they have to have photo, I've been working with manufacturers, Luke and Co. It's really, it's obvious and it's there in the product.
Well, to me, it sounded like a bit like Tesla. When they first, before they were around, when you look at cars that are battery powered, they were ugly looking. Just kind of like I'm very sexy, and now everyone's following their lead. So kind of like what you're doing, you made it sexy. So when someone comes along competing against you, they're going to be doing something similar in a sexy way as well.
We're making power sexy. That should be our tagline. My fault's making power sexy.
That sounds good. That could be a great tagline.
Oh man, I may regret that tomorrow.
No, but it's kind of interesting because when you're saying that, it's basically people. Well, why are they making it sexy? It's because it looks good, it feels good. Like when you get it in your hand and you might be feeling top quality produce. You don't feel anything that's mass produced and looks plasticky or gimmicky.
Oh, there's so much effort and time has been spent on choosing like materials and even like the cabling and stuff is super nice. There's like little LEDs that show you that thing is working before you even know it's working. You know, so you can have some assurances with it. It's all detailed on the Kickstarter campaign. It's probably mentioned as well. Yeah. There's a Kickstarter campaign and it's current. The last day of it is the 26th of June. But just to assure your listeners, we've already manufactured the first run of this product, so it's not like a pledge or a promise.
Yeah.
It's essentially a pre-ordering. You're buying the yoke and it's going to ship in July. So we already have this stuff locked and loaded.
Yeah, and getting back, it reminds me of getting back sexy of basically, you're like your Johnny Ive's son. Because Johnny Ive, whenever he develops products, they looked good and felt good. And this is kind of similar in a way.
I'm glad you think that. I know Luke and Xiao will be really happy because, yeah, they really try to make stuff look really good and be useful and not, you know, things should be solving problems for you, not kind of making extra ones. I think we've done that with
To me also it's like a talking piece. If you've got one in your home and someone sees it, they want to know what it is because it looks so different and unique and it still looks good. What is that? What does it do?
What's that yoke? Yeah, and then suddenly you've made a new friend.
Yeah. Because when you're doing with that with yolks, people go, what's that yolk doing? And we say what it does, and they go, wow, where can I get one? What does it do? And then suddenly, everyone's got one.
Everyone's got one. Everyone's best friends.
Yeah.
You'll be able to order it from our website, like My Vaults, probably see the website as well. MyVaults.co.uk and MyVaults.com as well.
Yeah.
But for the moment, it's on Kickstarter. It's called Revolt. If you type in Revolt Educator, you'll find it. We're currently at, I think we're at 150% of our target. So we exceeded our target there in the first, I don't know, was it a week? I think it was exactly a week when we got to 100% of a four-week campaign. Yeah. And then a few days ago, they gave us the, doesn't say best in show, whatever, it's Projects We Love at Kickstarter. It's like a curated thing called Projects We Love. So they gave us that award. And it's Kickstarter is a great place because people can comment and talk about what they want to use it for. And also, you know, they have all the Kickstarter rewards. You can make different rewards to suit different needs. And they're reactive to what our community is telling us, because that's what we've always done. We've always listened to all of our lovely customers and talked to them and gone, what do you people need and want? What are the problems that you have in power? And people are, it's like parking or bins. Everyone gives out their plugs the whole time. It's one of those things, it's very emotive. It's
well, to me, practical. But to me, with Kickstarter, normally when the product launches on there, it's just the first version of the product. And you're getting people come back, giving you comments on what they would like. So when version 2 is launched, version 2 is going to have the their comments looked at and maybe acted upon.
Built in, exactly. Yeah. Like we've done, this is our third Kickstarter campaign, and you know we've made our mistakes with our Kickstarter campaigns in the past. Our last one in 2016 was Rickport. Now that product is like fully realized. We've been selling it for a few years now. There's, you know, we sell thousands of them. But at the start, in our Kickstarter campaign, we hadn't done the final product. We were still like, we're still developing it long after our Kickstarter campaign had ended. And we bumped up against manufacturing issues and just a lot of stuff. And we had to, communicate to all the people who had spent the money, you don't have your thing yet, but you will, I promise. And that was a tough time, you know, having to be honest with your customers and go, listen, we don't have it yet, but seriously, we will, and when you get it, it's going to be killer. That was humbling. And we didn't want to repeat that mistake because, you know, you win friends by being honest, but you also can lose some mates being honest as well. And I think we really stepped up our game this time. We wanted to go to people, listen, this thing is done, it's deadly. You buy with confidence.
Because when you're buying a product from somebody and if there's been delays and you've not been told why, and then finally after 6 months it arrives, you're wondering what the hell was the problem. Whereas if you're told all along the way, oh, by the way, we've got a slight problem here with issues, maybe it's to do with code, maybe it's to do with manufacturing, but we're going to keep you in the loop what's going on, and every so often we're going to send out an email newsletter to let you know where we are and what we're doing, so that you can have faith in us, and that way, if someone emails me with that kind of scenario, I'm more inclined to buy from them again, because they've told me what's going on and kept me in the loop and not kept me in the dark.
They've opened up a little bit, and that's it. You have to. We've discovered as a company, talking to people and being like personable. And where we are a company you can talk to. I personally say to people, "Tell me your power problems, and I will solve them for you." You know, I populated that database of 45,000 devices. I know what every single. Yeah. Thing. It's actually kind of an embarrassing and weird party skill that I have, but I've put in my 10,000 hours in this, and I will come around to your house and I will look at all the plugs in your house. I can't help it. I can't wait till we're allowed to go to people's houses again for real, so I can look at them with the plugs
in your house. You also tell them, right now we're on naughty step. Help us come off by realising we made a mistake and we're honest about it, and in the future the naughty step will be in the past. Because you believe in us, and you believe that we are offering you something that we can't get anywhere else.
I think so. We have a lot of, our customers really trust us, and we have a lot of good relationships with a lot of people, especially in the musician space, where stuff needs to work for musicians, especially on stage and in these live events. You can't have things that you think are going to fail you or introduce noise or unwanted elements. And like power is a very fundamental thing to the creative process. So there has to be trust, and the damn thing has to work at the end of the day.
And just thinking about your product, where is it actually made?
Is it it's made in China.
Yeah.
And we have a very strong relationship with the manufacturers. if we're making products for man, at least 10 years. And Lucas personally visited the factory.
Yeah.
And we know these guys, talk to them on Zoom, talk to them all the time. And there's a constant, yeah, so it's not, there's a relationship there. I suppose we like to pride ourselves on our relationships, not just with our customers, but with our the people who get to make our stuff as well. We have a relationship with them too.
No, I'm asking because of COVID. Like, has COVID affected you guys, manufacturing-wise?
COVID's affected everyone, hasn't it?
Yeah.
In every way. And yes, we haven't escaped things either. But you know, it gave with one hand some the work from home. excuse me,
yeah.
The work from home flurry at the start. We did some things, and then some other things were knocked a bit out by it. You know, freighting has changed. Some fundamentals of business, you know, we've had to pivot and do different things, just like everybody else. There's some Brexit again, just like everyone else. These are the normal abnormal things that everyone has faced.
Because I saw recently in the news that the freighting costs have now gone up so much because of the pandemic that people are wondering, who's going to incur the extra costs of this?
Yeah, that's it. And like everyone's kind of looking at the bottom line and going, what next? But actually, in reaction to that very thing, there's another kind of nice sustainable kind of putting the power in the hands of the people thing here, in that we made a lot of people who are buying Revolt are buying for a specific little handheld sim. It's called a pop operator, and in this particular desktop musician space, it's a very popular product. It's like, I don't know, a lot of them in the range. People might own five or six of them. They take two AAAs, and that forms a large kind of part of the people who we talk to about making Revolt and helping us. But we also made a case for this because it's kind of a bare circuit boardy looking thing. That's the aesthetic, but we made this case, and now on our Kickstarter, it's this gorgeous case for it. But you can download the 3D printing files and print it yourself. So you can, so that like in the world of freighting, well, there's nothing to freight there if you have access to a 3D printer. We've done the research, we've made 3D files, you can print this thing yourself instead of buying it from us. So including like the community and giving people the means to empower themselves is also something that we want to do more of and want to explore more of.
And before I finish, one thing, have you sent a product to Greta Thunberg?
No.
Is she somebody
do you
who
have
might,
her number?
Might
do you
somebody,
know her?
I'm thinking, who could be interested in that, because it's what she's aspiring to, be more environmentally friendly.
Well, if somebody knows her, send her one, because I don't know her. But it's one of those things, isn't it? It's like, it's trying to find a real problem and then actually have the audacity to attempt to solve it.
Yeah.
And we want to get something good out of 2020, 2021 and solve a real problem for us and people. Something kind of annoys people, rightly, is batteries. So we've done our little part, but if anyone wants to give me a way to reliably get in touch with Greta and send her one, sure, I'm game. I think we can spring sending her one or two packs for free.
Yeah, because I think something like that would give you guys basically a bigger boost.
Yeah, sure it was.
Used by Greta.
Yeah, used and endorsed by Greta. I would just imagine her wearing a Michael's t-shirt that I could get on board with.
Or Al Gore.
Yeah. Do you have his number?
Sadly, don't. I don't have.
Yeah, you would have used it by now already.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I mean, if I had their numbers, I'd probably already used it too much, so they couldn't use it again.
No, that's it. They would have changed the number, gotten delisted. Maybe it's just in the phone book. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do they still have phone books? Again, don't know. Have to research.
Yeah, it's all done online now, so I'm sure there's an app for that, as I say.
Yep.
But on that note, I'll say thanks for that great conversation, Caroline. Good luck with your product launch when it finally gets launched. And I'm glad to see that your Kickstarter campaign is doing well. And hopefully, if we talk again in the future, you have something nice and shiny, new, and different to talk about as well.
Oh, well, I'll be on your podcast anytime you want. love an opportunity to run my mouth, so call me up anytime.
All right, thanks very much. Thanks for that.
Thank you so much.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter at @Irish_TechNews, on Facebook, facebook.com/IrishTechNews, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.